What is up, Level Up Nation? Welcome to episode 126 of the Level Up Podcast, your home for gaming and esports news, brought to you by the Overtime Network. My name is John, and I am joined by the king of the court side, or should I say the king of the six side, Joey. How you feeling, buddy?
Definitely not feeling well tonight, guys. I have a sore throat, a really stuffy nose, which I'm sure you guys can hear. A little bit of a headache, so I'm not really sure what's going on, if it's allergies or sinuses or what. I've actually never really had allergies before, but I'm getting hit hard so far this spring.
Well, Joe, if it makes you feel any better, my Twitch account got hacked, my personal one. So, like, I can't even log on to watch some of my favorite streamers now because some lovely, lovely person somewhere in the world hacked my Twitch account. So, Twitch, please get on that. Please reply to my email. I appreciate that. Thank you. Nation, make sure you follow the show on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. That's at the Level Up Podcast. That's at the LVLUP Podcast. And while you're on Twitter, make sure to give Joey and myself a follow. That's Joey at Courtside King and myself at Fiasco. If you're watching here live on Twitch, welcome to the stream. You can find those beautiful handles right below those impressive mug shots you are looking at right now on the stream. And if you're listening later on down the road to the podcast, welcome to you as well. You'll find those handles in the show notes below. Nation, after a long offseason, the NBA 2K League is finally back. They kicked off Season 2 this past weekend with the tip-off tourney, alongside the Overwatch League that started Stage 2 this past weekend as well. Recapping the pro scene, is this going to be kind of a big part of this week's episode? But it's not the only part. Joey, what else are we talking about this week on episode 126?
John, in addition to that, the NBA 2 tip-off tournament, we're going to be talking about that as well as a new team entering into that league. In addition to that, we are talking more about F1 esports because it's continuing to grow. We have a budget number for Halo and more.
All right, Joey, I'm even afraid to go into this next segment. It is the drink of choice. I feel like your drink of choice should either be a combination of Dayquil, NyQuil, Robitussin, I don't know, Sudafed, something to clear your head. Joey, if you're having anything else other than water, I'm going to be surprised.
Tea, actually. I'm going tea tonight. That's honey. I've been drinking it for 3 days straight, and it's starting to get very old.
Ooh, so I am glad you said with honey, because I feel like that's going to determine my drink of choice, because I was kind of debating. Do I go rum, or do I go Tennessee honey? Now, because you're having honey, we're going to have that co-host synergy right now. I'm going to break out the rest of the Jack Daniels Tennessee honey as well, because I'm not sick. I can drink. Joey, we have our beverages. I feel great. Joey feels awful. Let's go ahead and struggle through episode 126. Let's start with gaming and esports news. Let's go.
Kicking it off like that flag in the back corner of John's camera there, Cloud9, they have added Renee, Cajun B, Borg to round out their CSGO squad. On top of that, John, they've also added a Rainbow Six Siege roster with Hetty, Envy, Neilio, Sweet Black, and Nova, coaches Summer Rain and OCN coming in.
So this is a very stereotypical Cloud9 move. So first, I'm going to touch on their Rainbow Six Siege roster. This is a Rainbow Six Siege roster from Korea, originally Mantis FPS. So Cloud9, kind of like they did when Overwatch Pro Scene started developing, just straight went out and bought a South Korean team. This time it was only one. If you remember in Overwatch, Cloud9 bought two South Korean teams, merged them into one, and then now we have the concoction known as the London Spitfire with the remaining members of those two teams. So Cloud9 going back to their original strategy here, buying a South Korean team, bringing them straight into Rainbow Six Siege. I like the move. I'm curious to see what they're going to do here. Cloud9's kind of struggled a little bit with Rainbow Six Siege, kind of like hit and miss. They originally got into it last year in 2018. Now they're doing a full rehaul and trying to get back into it. So I'm really curious to see how this goes for Cloud9.
I mean, I think it's a really good move in all honesty. The Rainbow Six Siege scene continues to grow, and we've seen it go up and up. The prize pools are going up and up as well. The viewership is starting to increase. Not only that, John, but they're already jumping into the revenue sharing as well. Now that they're adding stores, they're adding premium skins for esports orgs, charms onto the guns. With a scene this young, really Rainbow Six has been around forever, but the Siege scene is still on the younger side. Now that it's continuing to build upon this, esports orgs see it as an attractive feature, and more are going to buy into the title. League of Legends 100 Thieves has parted ways with their mid laner Huhi. John, this was a fit we weren't sure about from the beginning. We thought maybe if him and Aframu can work their, really their roaming together and make good excessive advantages from that. They weren't able to do it though. It's been a rough split for 100 Thieves here, and now Huhi on his way out.
Yeah, you know, I kind of feel bad for Huhi. He was on CLG for the longest of time. He's known as an inconsistent mid laner. He's kind of been, you know, we've seen the best of him. We've also seen the incredible worst of him. And it just feels like there's, like you said, Joe, there's a lot of question marks with him going on to this 100 Thieves roster. And nothing really fit as a team, as an organization for LCS. They really underperformed after their amazing summer split finish. Actually, in their entire last year, they had an incredible split or just this incredible season. So far in the spring split, kind of, I'd put them at underachieving quite a bit, especially with some of those names on their roster. You know, Someday, Bang, Aframu, just to name a few. It's upsetting to see him go, but he's going to land somewhere soon. I have no doubt about that. Huhi is very talented. A lot of people know him from like his Aurelion Sol play. Probably one of the best pros on Aurelion Sol. So I'm really excited to see where he goes. I think 100 Thieves needs to do something to try to correct their spiral downwards.
Yeah, 100 Thieves now down to 99 Thieves here with Huhi leaving. But overall, John, I mean, he is a good player. He's shown he has that potential. But at the same point, I don't know if we've really seen enough from him to be a championship caliber level player. He seems to always find ways to either choke or finds ways to get roams and get his team ahead. But it seems like it's one or the other. There's no real in-between with Huhi. So for me, this 100 Thieves team needs someone who's going to be consistent in that mid lane, especially with how inconsistent their bot lane has been, unless you want to say they've been consistently bad. Aframu has not been able to get his stuff going. He's not been able to be the proactive player he usually is. And Bang is just not settling in too well, at least on the Rift. Moving on to partnerships, Misfits partners up with Milk Pep's Milk It campaign to launch a series of activations around Fortnite. The partnership will entail a host of tournaments, events, and community meetups, as well as content from behind the scenes with the organization's Fortnite competitors and personalities. I really like this move, John. Again, very Fortnite-focused, something we continue to see more and more. As Fortnite, we think it's going to die here and there, and it still finds its way back in. The interesting thing for me is Misfits with Milk Pep. The fact that Misfits continues to find these really obscure partnerships, in my opinion. You look at everyone else is partnering with, say, Twitch or Mixer, and they go with the caffeine route, a less popular platform. I'm going to blame this one on my sore throat. So they're going with this less popular platform, something that is more up and coming. They're trying to kind of catch that ride as it's going up. It really hasn't worked out that well for Misfits yet as far as these new sponsorships that are popping up. We'll see if this one with Milk Pep's Milk It campaign is any different.
Now I have a question. Is this the same company that did that, you know, Milk Mustache campaign that we saw in magazines and in newspapers and TV ads and everything like that? I just feel like, you know, when we talk about like these partnerships and these efforts with these organizations going into esports, you know, last week we talked about I'm blanking on the company's name, but you know, they're known for household appliances and they're jumping into esports. You know, refrigerators, dishwashers, washers and dryers, and now we have Milk pumping their efforts into esports, and it's. No, don't get me wrong. I'm happy the money's coming into esports, but boy, if you want to talk about a trend of some really odd sponsorships and really odd companies that you wouldn't really necessarily think would want to get into esports are hopping into esports. So, you know, it's cool that Milk Pep is doing this, but at the same time, I'm not going to lie. When I saw this on the notes, Joey, I did a little research before we started the show, and I'm still not quite sure what Milk Pep does other than, as they say in their About Me page, being the central hub for our milk brands. I don't even know what that means.
I mean, it makes sense, though. Esports, it's a very young age on average, and those kids need milk to build up their muscles, right? They need that calcium. So
to have their response time on their thumbs and for their and being their, you know, their trigger fingers and everything. Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, yeah, milk. Chocolate milk will definitely increase your KDA, by the way.
I mean, in all honesty, it is a brilliant move from the milk company, though, because now they can buy in at the highest level. And then as we see esports continue to grow on like a high school and middle school level, they can already say, hey, we've sponsored a professional team. We already have these connections. And they can bring that to the table and kind of be the head of esports and the head of milk in the school.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you never know. But the one last week, it was like Beto or Bevo or something like that. I actually did go and watch their commercial for the... It's whatever their healthy eating campaign is. I can't remember the name of it, but they did one with Barcelona. It's a really well done commercial, and they don't really hit on the appliances at all, except for the fact that they're taking healthy food out of like the refrigerator or out of the microwave or whatever. But it's really, really well done. And I think it could translate well to esports, to be completely honest, after watching it.
I understand, but it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, it goes back to Turtle Wax. It goes back to some of the other odd sponsorships we've discussed here on the show. It's just one of those things where it's like, you know, I understand why the organization wants to do these partnerships. They want the money, and it makes a whole lot of sense. You have two equal companies that both want exposure, that both want money, that both want a return on investment. It makes sense from the esport perspective. It's just really unique seeing how, like, 5 years ago, I really don't expect any of these organizations, not organizations, but any of these companies to be buying into esports. But so much has changed in the esport ecosystem in 5 years that now these companies that sponsor, you know, a Barcelona team, a Barcelona soccer team, that sponsor some of these other major traditional sport organizations all around the world are now jumping into esports. It's absolutely great. But at the same time, it's like, it's just kind of funny a little bit. Just trying to find the humor in it. Like, you know, this company that does dishwashers and refrigerators is now sponsoring esports. And now Milk. Milk is sponsoring Fortnite. That's, you know what? That's great. You know, cool. Awesome. Remember, chocolate milk creases your KDA. It's good for you.
Next up, Lenovo. They are partnering with Resurgence, the largest esports organization in Singapore. This is going to include high-end gaming equipment through Lenovo's Legion brand going to that Singaporean team, Resurgence. Overall, I think this is a good move for both parties involved. Singapore becoming an up-and-coming scene, really. We've seen League of Legends start to expand there. We're seeing more Dota being played there as well. Now Lenovo getting in and trying to build their brand from that up-and-coming region.
Yeah, I think this is great. Lenovo, really... I don't know. Like, I've never really used Lenovo products. I know a lot of people that swear by them. You know, I wouldn't necessarily call them like a bargain computer at all. But they do have a lot of less expensive products that you can buy as compared to like maybe an HP or even a Dell. Dell is still around, right? Yeah.
Yeah, Dell is still around. And I would say even Lenovo kind of has that bottom end, but they also have that top.
They do.
They kind of hit every segment.
It kind of feels like they have ownership of that lower end, but they're also not afraid to kind of splurge a little bit on the upper end. We're kind of like when you think of Asus. Asus doesn't really have a middle ground. They're pretty much, if we're talking tiers, they're pretty much a B tier. So you're going to have to spend easily $600, $700, $800 on an Asus computer that is current. Or if you want something that is like really current and really powerful, you're like in like Mac territory where you're dropping $1,200, $1,300, $1,400 when it comes to Asus gear. So I mean, it's great. I like seeing Lenovo grow more. I know a lot of schools in North America use Lenovo for a lot of educational purposes, so that's a brand name that kids are already familiar with. So when they see Lenovo making bigger leaps into esports, that's a great brand recognition for them, seeing how kids are already familiar with that brand and now they're going to see them involved in esports. So it's a great way to really market to the younger generation that when they are of age and they can afford a computer, they're going to think Lenovo first. So I actually like this move quite a bit.
What are your thoughts on it being in Singapore in general?
I mean, why not? Singapore, huge tech hub. They have a lot of major tech industries that are in Singapore. Singapore is an up-and-coming esport territory also. I think that's a great place to start. I think Lenovo is going to want to expand. But I feel like Singapore is a decent place to start. If you try to start like in a Japan or a South Korea or even a China, I feel like there's going to be a lot of issues and a lot of hurdles you're going to have to overcome. But really, Singapore kind of provides that area that, you know, if this doesn't work out, it's you're not going to lose too much versus like if they try to launch in China or or bring it to another high-end region, if you will. So I think Singapore is a great spot, and if it does play out well in Singapore, it can probably work in other regions also.
Yeah, I think Singapore is the perfect place, to be completely honest, because right over there, you're already, like you said, you're not competing with China, where there's so many laws and restrictions, but then you're also not competing with Korea, where there is so much popularity already and so many brands have already bought in. This, in a sense, says, hey, this scene is growing, your organization is growing, my product wants to grow, let's all partner up and make it happen. So I think really Singapore is a great spot. I think Oceania is another really good region for something like this, for a new product to jump in on. But I'm really excited to see this come from the ground up, and then from there maybe expand into some of those bigger regions. HyperX has renewed its partnership with the NBA 2K League and will continue to be the headset sponsor of the league for Season 2. John, I think there's no surprises here. HyperX, a great quality headset. You and I have both used HyperX. I'm using one right now. I don't know if you guys hear that. I just realized that after I turned my head. But overall, it's a great product, the NBA 2K League. It looks really good on the players, the headset. It gets plenty of brand awareness, so HyperX really likes it. All the streams, especially with the NBA 2K League, you get those side profile views of players that you don't really get in most other esports. So I think for HyperX, this is a huge buy-in for them. And the NBA 2K League, having a headset like HyperX is a win-win as well.
You know, I mean, you've already hit the nail on the head here when it comes to HyperX and the NBA 2K League. I'm going to throw a question out here for you, Joe, and I'm not going to try to make you talk too much. Why in the world has HyperX not gone into Overwatch League yet? Overwatch League is using David Clark headsets. Now, if anyone knows David Clark, and I only know this because I'm an aviation nerd, they are headsets for airplanes. I mean, literally, commercial airplanes, private aviation, you name it, David Clark. They also make headsets for gun ranges and everything else. Okay, that's great. But video games, like, to me, David Clark seem a little bit overkill. Now, granted, they do have great noise-canceling technology and everything, but I feel like HyperX could benefit so much from working with Overwatch League versus a David Clark, because at the end of the day, David Clark, you know, what 14-year-old kid is going to be able to go up to their parents and say, hey, I want a David Clark headset? Number one, I mean, I did research. I can't find an eSport version of David Clark. So that tells me they're actually using aviation-grade headsets here for David Clark and the Overwatch League. And two, Joey, those headsets are easily $800 and up. So to me, that's a partnership that doesn't make too much sense in a branding and a marketing aspect here. I want to know why HyperX doesn't make this move and try to jump into Overwatch League as the official headset here.
Okay, so based on Reddit here, I'm going off of Reddit.
Oh boy.
It looks like the reason they went this particular route was for the competitive integrity of the scene. Mm-hmm. So the fact that they will for sure block out all noise as compared to something else that's just noise canceling. So
that's fair.
Apparently that's why. I have a feeling money was also a reason, if you ask me.
Oh, of course.
HyperX, do I really want to pay this much money to jump into this league that's overcharging people to start with? I don't know. I mean, that's what it really comes down to. So I'm wondering what they charge sponsors to jump in, to be completely honest, with them already saying, what was it, 15 mil was the least for a team, and yeah, then it went all the way up to like 60-something. So if they're charging teams that much, I'm curious to know what a franchise spot in comparison to a sponsor spot is weighed out at. So I have a feeling that could weigh in as well. But again, competitive integrity, at least based on some random Reddit users, seems to be one of the reasonings.
And it makes complete sense. That thing blocks out engine noise. Like, I've flown Cessnas and Pipers myself. It doesn't completely kill off the engine noise, but it reduces it quite a bit, which is actually really scary considering how much you need to listen to the engine when you're flying. But I thought it was really cool. And seeing it on stage for Overwatch League makes a whole lot of sense. And I feel like that Reddit user really did hit the nail on the head. It does make sense because it does cancel out the noise, but doesn't kill the integrity of the sound also that you're getting through the headset. You could still hear all the alerts, all the chimes, all the radios clear as day through that headset. So I feel like that is a legitimate reason as to why they would go DCs over, let's say, a HyperX or even a Logitech headset. So I like that answer, Joey, and kudos to Reddit users for coming up with that too.
Well, see, now the other question, though, because based on chat, it sounds like they use these headsets for all of their different competitive games. So I'm curious if they do have them pay a sponsorship fee or if they just elect to go with this headset regardless.
Could be. It might be a Blizzard thing. Maybe someone in Blizzard said, hey, look, take a look at these DC headsets. And, you know, they have great sound. They have great noise integrity. They block out noise without compromising sound. You can still hear, you know, where enemies are coming from. It's going to drown out the sound of the crowd. Like, you know, the crowd's watching the game and they see a big fight coming up because they know that a Junkrat is hiding behind the corner and has the high ground, but the other team doesn't know that. And the crowd starts cheering. And then all of a sudden the team on stage goes, wait a minute, why is everyone cheering? I'm nervous now. Let's hold back a little bit. So I guess that does make sense. It might be a Blizzard thing because I really haven't seen DCs in any other competitive league for esports yet. So I'd be kind of curious. You know, I may reach out to Blizzard myself to see if they have a reason behind it also. But it would make a whole lot of sense.
Well, I mean, really, some of these other scenes are the ones that are out and about because a lot of different scenes play in booths, especially in Asia. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at the Chinese scene, you look at the Korean scene for League of Legends or CSGO or even Dota, they all play in booths, and it's all noise-canceling booths. So it really doesn't matter what kind of headset they're using because they can't hear the announcers or the casters or whoever, the audience, regardless. So I'm curious if we see more booths in esports as well as we continue to move forward for that competitive integrity.
And it's interesting you bring that up, too, because it feels like North America has a different idea behind that, because they don't want to use booths because they feel like that, you know, separates them from the fans. You know, if there's one thing that we've touched on esports quite a bit is the fact that the players are so accessible to the fans. They, you know, there's tons of fan meet and greets for the players and for fans, and, you know, official team events where people from the team will come out. You know, there's so many good things going on in esports. So I would think that the Western Hemisphere probably has that feel, saying, hey, look, we don't want to put that physical barrier between our fans and our players. But in return, then you do have that issue of fans cheering when they see something possibly tipping off the other team. So I guess it does make sense. And Joey, I'm right there with you. I wouldn't be surprised if booths eventually do come to North America. Not saying it's going to take away anything from the experience for the fans, but I feel like the competitive edge and the competitive level is getting to that point where we're going to have to control the crowd to not allow those outside factors to possibly play a role in these games.
Right. And I almost feel like the headset might be the simpler solution to that. And you mentioned North America, Europe as well does not use booths. So I think when we see the Western world translate over, maybe Blizzard is leading the way in the sense where we see headsets over those booths, just so you keep that personality factor, you keep that closeness from pro to fan, but it also doesn't take away from the competitive integrity of the game. Gosh, I'm struggling.
It's okay, Joe. We appreciate you trucking through this.
Oof. Okay, the Charlotte Hornets, going back to the NBA 2K League, they have announced that they will be joining the NBA 2K League as the league's 22nd team for the next season. John, this is a big move. The NBA 2K League just entering season two. We just had the tip-off tournament we're going to hit on later in the show. But on top of that, we already have another team declaring that they're ready for season three.
Yeah, let's hope their team is better than their NBA team. You know, no, it's great. The NBA 2K League team league continues to grow. It's great to hear that Charlotte is pulling that trigger and willing to jump into this league, starting with season three. I do expect more teams to join. Eventually, I expect almost every team in the NBA. I expect all the teams in the NBA to really take advantage of this. It's really a great way to engage with younger fans. And let's be real here. If there's one thing that FIFA and EMLS have been doing incredibly right, the way they've engaged with the younger generation through video games, through competitive esports, to bring them to the traditional sports side, to make them fans of that team. If we're going to sit here and listen to all of these, you know, gray-haired people on TV talk about how millennials and Generation Z just don't care about traditional sports anymore, they can't keep their attention, they have a small attention span and everything, how do we get them to care about football, care about baseball, care about NBA and soccer and everything again? This might be a great avenue. It seems to be working with FIFA around the world when it comes to esports, and it seems to be working with EMLS so far. So hopefully the NBA follows suit, and hopefully all these teams jump in as well.
And with that, we're going to move over to F1 Esports. They have a series prize more than doubling for their third season, a total of $500,000 on the line this time around. John, we've talked a lot about virtual racing. I think we both are in agreement that if you're going to do virtual racing, F1 is probably going to be more successful than NASCAR, in our opinion. Now you see the prize pool going up, though, so they're doing something right.
I'm going to wait for my NASCAR slam after the next bullet point here on our show notes. I'm going to hold back just a little bit.
Yeah, I'm trying to find the game for that next bullet point, but I can't seem to find it. Yeah, it doesn't look like they mentioned.
Well, I can tell you it's not NASCAR.
No, season 9. GT3 Cup Racer. One second. Yeah, this article does not have the game for some reason. Anyway, sticking with mobile racing, we have Porsche announcing a virtual world championship, the Porsche Esports Super Cup. The competition will feature 40 sim racers and offer a 100K prize pool. It will include a series of 10 races, with the first kicking off on April 13th in a virtual version of Barber Motorsport Park in Alabama.
Alabama. Boy, let's talk about a state I don't even want to, I don't want to go to in the virtual world.
Oh my gosh.
You know, I take that. I've been to Alabama. I've been to Huntsville before. It's fine. I mean, look, it's great. And Joey, you hit the nail on the head. Racing games, if it's going to succeed, it's going to do it not through NASCAR. It's going to do it through the F1 scene. It's going to do it, you know, through your Forzas, through your Gran Turismos. The games that are not NASCAR. NASCAR is not fun to watch. It's not fun to play. It's not. I honestly challenge anyone who is a NASCAR fan to convince me on at least three different ways why it's fun to watch cars go around in a circle and do absolutely nothing 500 times until there's a wreck. I don't see how that's going to do anything. I won't go too much into that. We did spend plenty of time on that several episodes ago. But F1 is definitely the way. I see Porsche doing an amazing job here with these this upcoming racing series, if you will. I'm still trying to like put words to this because I just can't stand NASCAR that much.
I still can't find a game for this, to be honest. I think it might actually be something that Porsche has developed.
It probably is, and leave it to Porsche. You know, one of the most amazing car manufacturers out there. A car I'll never be able to afford in my lifetime. Jumping into esports, I absolutely love it. And, you know, it's cool to see what they're going to do with this.
Whew, okay, we're getting there. Borderlands 3 is set to launch on September 13th for Xbox One, PS4, and PC. On PC, the title will be exclusive to the Epic Games Store. A huge win for Epic here, John. So, not only this, we have another big loot shooter coming out. We've had Destiny 2 in recent years. We've had Anthem that attempted to be a loot shooter. We have Division 2. Now we have Borderlands 3, yet another one entering into the fray. This one coming out later this fall. A lot of people are very hyped for it. On top of that, though, Epic winning the battle for this one. They have exclusivity rights to sell it on PC until 2020.
Yeah, I feel like that's the biggest mark here. That's the biggest newsmaker. Not the fact that, you know, we finally have a release date for Borderlands 3, but it's about the fact that it's going to be available on PC solely through Epic until April of 2020. That is an absolutely massive, massive deal for Epic. That's a huge, huge win and a huge knock against Steam. I really don't know where to rank Discord in a lot of this, because Discord has some of those like really cool indie titles, but nothing really too major here. It feels like it is a battle between Epic and Steam. And, you know, this is a huge blow to Steam. This is definitely a game that a lot of people thought may go to Steam, but Epic really sweeping in there with their sweet split that they have between developers and their store. You can't really blame them. You can't really blame Borderlands for going to Epic. Again, it's a huge win, and I'm really curious to see how Steam responds to this.
I mean, I think they're going to do what we talked about either last show or the show before, where they just keep revamping themselves. They're going to redo their library. They're going to try to make it more developer-friendly for events within the games as well, or events surrounding the games. But other than that, right now, Epic has a huge lead. Fortnite is doing extremely well. Epic is really playing right into that with a huge player base they've accrued right now. At the same point, I am curious to see how long this lasts. I think overall, developers are playing into this to continue to break down the scene. They want those percentages to keep going in their favor. And if they switch back and forth between stores to continue to build upon those percentages, it's looking the best for the developers. So I think that's what we continue to see here. Right now, Epic being the one with the best deal. Rocket League's revenue-sharing esports shop is set to launch on April 16th. John, this is long overdue, in my opinion. Rocket League entering into Season 7, and we are just now seeing revenue sharing. This should have been out many, many seasons ago, especially with the tickets they sell for those world championships. But it is finally here. I think it's better late than never. And I am excited the fact that we can now buy esports merchandise in Rocket League come next week.
Well, good thing payday for me is in 2 days. I'll be setting aside some money to get some sweet, sweet, sweet Cloud9 merch in Rocket League. You're defending Rocket League World Champions. Cloud Nine, that is. So I'm excited about it. And Joey, it is so incredibly long overdue. It is ridiculous how long overdue this has been for Rocket League, not just the revenue sharing, but the esports shop. I honestly cannot believe that we are in the seventh season. And now, right now, next week on the 16th, we're going to be able to rep our teams, our orgs, in game. It literally blows my mind with like how every other title that has an esports scene is already doing this. And Rocket League, one of those games that a lot of people in the esports scene believes can be that major crossover between esports and traditional sports for viewers to really bring people into the esport realm, into the esport universe, to introduce them to esports, that it's just now taking them this long to launch an esports shop. I mean, better late than never, but boy, I'm excited for it. I'm really excited for this. I can't wait for next week.
And it's just, yeah, it's absolutely crazy to me because Rocket League has been one of those scenes that's really been on top of things. They've been doing innovative things. They've been moving their world championship from country to country, city to city, and they continue to expand their viewership audience, yet they have not bought into the revenue sharing, which is something that we see so much turnover because leagues do not have it. I mean, you look at Rocket League, Fnatic's not in there anymore. There are so many big organizations like Fnatic that have dropped out of Rocket League mainly because they did not see the return on investment. Yes, this is not going to be a huge portion of that. It's just going to be a small slight that's going to help pay for the roster. But overall, any money is going to be huge for these organizations trying to buy into a smaller scene. I think this ends up bringing more people back to Rocket League. You're going to see some organizations reinvest in the scene. At the same point, like you said, like I said, better late than never. This is going to be a huge boost for the esports scene of Rocket League. Okay, the next one is a rumor. This is coming out from a quote from an interview. Halo Infinite's budget is estimated to be over $500 million, John. If this is true, it will be the current biggest project in gaming. I believe Red Dead was somewhere around $350, $375 million, and that was the biggest from this past year, I believe. So overall, you're looking at over $100 million increase if that is the case.
Joey, I just came up with this idea. The next time we have a rumor on here, I need to have a sound clip. It's like, rumor, 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 psst, rumor. To play for that, because I feel like that'd be kind of cool. Cheesy radio quality content is what I really want to go for here. Now, this would be amazing. I don't know. Every time, whenever I think Red Dead, I automatically assume like online poker because Pat from Esport Fair Play plays Red Dead Redemption 2 just solely for poker and just. And so as soon as you said Red Dead, I'm just like poker just automatically like popped into my mind. No, this would be massive. A $500 million project, that's hard to wrap my mind around. That's a half a billion dollars. Like, $500 million sounds a lot, but, like, when you break it down even more, that's a half a billion. That is absurd. I really don't know what else to say about it. If this is true, I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine.
I want to imagine. I am so excited. And so I think part of this money is going to the fact that they are developing a new engine. So Slipspace is going to be the new engine that Halo has developed on. Mm-hmm. I feel like that is a lot of where this investment's going. Not only that, because it's part of that Xbox, whatever it's called now, Xbox Game Studios, Microsoft Game Studios, whatever they renamed it to.
The initiative.
Now it's going to end up being part of that. So they can use that engine for any of these other development studios if they want to. So I feel like a lot of that money is going to developing this thing so it doesn't end up like a Frostbite like we see at EA. It'll be something that's more fan-friendly, like an Unreal engine. I think Unreal is probably still the most popular out there. So something more like that, just a higher caliber of an engine. So other than that, I also think it's the fact we're going to see Halo on PC now. I think this is buying more into where we're seeing that money. And on top of that, I think they're going to try to make this a major esport moving forward.
Yeah, I need to look at upgrading my solid state drive for when this thing does drop. I have a feeling like this is going to be like one of those 100 gigabyte games that like if you're sitting on a 500 gigabyte solid state drive, you're going to want to upgrade that bad bird before this game drops. So I agree with you. I think it is going to be into developing the engine. It's not just going to be solely focused on the game. I feel like there's a lot of R&D that's going to be going into this. Bringing it to the PC is going to take up a lot of time, hopefully because Microsoft has integrated a lot of Xbox qualities with recent versions of Windows and a lot of PC builds already. Hopefully it'll be somewhat of an easier transition. But then again, we see the fiasco that is the Xbox app on PC. And I did not mean to name drop myself in that either. I hate doing that now, because whenever I say fiasco, I'm like, hey, that's, oh wait, no, that's, I'm, it's weird.
Oh my gosh.
It's so weird. I feel like I just had a Joey moment. It's weird.
Yeah, that's right now. Those moments are just a lot of coughing tonight. yeah, I mean, overall, I'm really excited for this game. We've seen Halo games with either really great campaigns or really great multiplayer, but they've had a hard time really putting all that together. Halo 3 is probably one of the better examples out there of where we saw good multiplayer and a pretty decent campaign. Everyone you ask is going to argue for a different Halo, though. That's just kind of how the community is. But overall, I think Infinite has the possibility of bringing all those communities together. I think they have the ability to sell Xboxes with this game. I think they have the ability to bring a ton of PC gamers into the Halo universe. And a lot of those PC gamers just played on Xbox before. Now to expand it to PC is going to open up so many more horizons to new players as well. And I really think if Halo goes to PC, it has potential to be a very, very high-ranking esport. Because Halo 3, when it was just on console, was so much fun to watch as an esport. I can only imagine how great Infinite will be. Weekly Esport League update. So upcoming, we have EU Masters returning to Leicester for the 2019 Spring Final, set to be held at the Haymarket Theatre on April 27th through the 28th. Then we have Rocket League Season 7 World Championship right after that revenue store opens up. It will be held in Newark, New Jersey in June. And last but not least, the Sea of Thieves Anniversary Update preview stream start up this week. And on Wednesday, we will have a trailer, behind-the-scenes looks, a Q&A, and more regarding the upcoming arena mode.
Joey, Newark, New Jersey, that's like right up the road from, right up the, from 5 hours up the road from us. Am I smelling a road trip for a Level Up Podcast?
So the first world championship we went to was what, season four or five?
Four in DC. Now, yeah.
It was fun. That was awesome. Was a great particular event. We were at what, the MGM Grand in like their theater room.
Yeah, I don't know if it has a particular name. MGM National Harbor Grands in Las Vegas, as much as I would love to go.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. You have an excuse.
Yeah, right? It's the sinuses. But yeah, overall, I mean, that was a great event. It had a really good turnout. The competition was awesome. Just the high caliber level of Rocket League play there compared to what we're used to in our games is such a different level. I feel like the ball never touched the ground in those games. It was awesome to watch.
Yeah, in our games, the ball never leaves the ground. So it's like almost the exact complete opposite. So it's... yeah. Oof.
So the other thing to touch on here, Sea of Thieves, John. So they have this huge anniversary update coming out. They're adding the arena mode. They're adding a campaign mode. And on top of that, they're also adding fishing and cooking, I believe, which has been highly requested features. But the thing that we're going to touch on first here, the arena mode. What are your thoughts on this? Do you think this is going to be something like a battle royale mode where we see like with Fortnite or Apex Legends? Do you think this is going to be something completely different? How do you expect this to play out?
I don't see it as a battle royale for some reason. When I'm thinking arena, I'm thinking something like what we saw. I'm thinking like Battlegrounds in World of Warcraft. I'm thinking you're going to have two teams. You're going to have like an all out two sided war, over, you know, either an island, over a sunken ship, over some kind of objective, but it's going to be between two teams. I don't really see Sea of Thieves being able to be kind of a battle royale mode with just with the, how the game is structured, where you pretty much need a crew to, you know, to maneuver your boat, to sail around, to fire the cannons and everything. And really, I think it would be really difficult and really chaotic to the point where people would stop playing if we did have an all out battle royale mode with, you know, 3-man ships, where, you know, the objective is just to sink as many ships as possible, because I just feel like that would be incredibly complicated for like high end gamers. They would probably enjoy it, but for like the casual gamer, where a lot of your players are maybe casual to above casual players, I really see a battle royale mode for Sea of Thieves being a little, little over the top and a little not, just not. I just don't think it'd be worth it for them to develop a battle royale kind of version of it.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing to go off of, if we look at traditional ones, it's all about the variety of weapons, the variety of different pickups that you can get. Sea of Thieves has none of that. I mean, they have what, 4 weapons maybe?
Cursed cannonballs.
4 weapons.
I feel
right. You got cursed cannonballs. You have the the blunderbuss. So, like, you have a shotgun, you have a pistol, you have a sniper rifle and a sword, I think. So four weapons. And really, you can choose all those from the start on your boat. So I don't really see it going that way either. I think the fun part of it, though, I want to see them put a lot more people on one single map and make that map smaller. I think you cut down into one region and then drop a bunch of people on the outskirts of that and have them work towards some like big fort or something in the middle. That's my thought. And I think you also leave the NPCs in there too. I think it would be great to have like megalodons come up on you or krakens or different things like that. So it's kind of like a PvE going on as well as the PvP. But on top of that, they also mentioned different things like different contests and quests and different things like that. So I'm very curious to see how this all plays out, because it could be you get a certain amount of points for kills, you get a certain amount of points for turning in chests and different things like that as well. So really, I have no idea what's coming. But from the trailer, it looks really good, and I'm excited to see what happens. I think Sea of Thieves becomes your number one stream Twitch title again when this drops at the end of April. But until then, it's a lot of curiosity out there and a lot of rumors.
So if they end up going a Battle Royale mode, do you see them ditching the boat idea and just going traditional Battle Royale where you're dropping your avatar on an island and essentially just removing the boat aspect from that part of the game?
I don't think so. I think the boats are too much fun, and I think they want to see more naval combat in there.
And that's where I feel like, and I'm going to agree with our chat room here, I feel like when you add the boats in, like even some of the most well-manned ships in the game, it still takes a while to turn your boats, to line up your shot. It's a lot of prediction. It's a lot of leading. There's a lot of math, really, when it's involved. Hey, kids, you know, math does play a role, even in video game. It's weird. There's a lot of math that goes into it and a lot of calculating and predicting that I feel like it would take an incredibly long time for that game to end. You know, if there's one hit that League of Legends gets constantly, it's how long the games are. You know, if Sea of Thieves does this and adds in a battle royale with ships, I feel like unless it's an incredibly tiny map with maybe only 10 ships, even then, I feel like that would take forever for that game mode to end. Where like an average Fortnite or even an Apex game right now, if you run it all the way to the top five, you're still looking at 10, 15, maybe on the long side 20 minutes versus a League of Legends game where right now we're averaging anywhere from 30 to 35. Where back in the day, you know, a couple of years ago, we're talking 40, 45, 50 minute games. So it'd be kind of interesting to see how they go with it. But I hope they do not go Battle Royale with this style. I want to see more of a World of Warcraft Battlelands kind of or a Battlegrounds kind of mode.
Right. We know it's going to be some kind of Battle Royale. We just don't know what kind yet. The other thing is, so it like decreasing the size of the map, I think, is one solution. I think the other one, and it might not be as warranted as a time limit, because that does pressure people to actually do things. So if you're counting down, you know your team is behind by 3 points or whatever, you're going to swim across and try to get those kills, especially if the zone is continuing to push you toward one island. So I think a time limit of some sorts could be what the solution is in the end, if it really comes down to that. But again, you look at all these battle royales, the storm or the whatever, I think everyone calls it the storm, I believe. It continues to push everyone inward, and I think that's really the solution to keeping these games in a certain time limit. Because you can really just, the storm will collapse and kill everyone at some point, and your ship can take damage and all that as well. So I think that's how you time it if you do go that battle royale route. Depending, they could come up with something completely unique and different like we've seen with Sea of Thieves so far. So we'll have to wait and see on that one. But again, developer stream this Wednesday. The NBA 2K season kicked off with its tip-off tournament, and Sixers Gaming won for the second time in a row. John, can you break it down for us?
No. I can't. No. So, another great tournament. A lot of question marks around a lot of these teams. Pretty much every team here has a largely a new roster, if you will. All the teams only got to keep two players from last year. So we're looking at like four new players. WizDG technically has five new players with the late trade in the offseason to get Dayfry from Maverick Gaming. So them pretty much being the outlier there. But a lot of new rosters here, so there are a lot of question marks going into this tip-off tournament. WizDG, just real quick, hometown team, did go 1-1, a decent showing. A lot of people were wondering how that team was going to be able to come together. WizDG also brought back two players from last season, so there is some chemistry there too, which is really cool. going forward. Some of the other teams did that as well, but there's still a lot of question marks out there. But Sixers Gaming, really consistent so far, really put up a good showing throughout this entire tournament and was able to punch home the win and take home that cool check for the preseason tournament before the season kicks off next week. So it was a really good showing by Sixers Gaming.
And then with that, the Sixth Stream is going to head over to Stage 2 for Overwatch League, which kicked off this past week. So again, we are entering into Stage 2. Stage 1 is done. We have three stages to go. How did Stage 2 Week 1 go?
Week 1 looks good. I don't think we need to recap every single one of them. I think a lot of the results were what was expected. I feel we touched on it last week, Joey. We were really hoping that the Washington Justice, was it here or was it on Game On DC? I think it was Game On DC we talked about it. A lot of us really were hoping that Washington Justice could take the win over the Hunters. Unfortunately, it did go 3-1 over the Hunters. But aside from that, I feel like everything else played out the way a lot of people predicted it will. Vancouver Titans, still an incredibly dominating team, 4-0-ing their only game of the week against the Spark. Not a big surprise there. That team is going to be tough to beat. If you don't watch Overwatch League and you're a League of Legends fan, think of them like Team Liquid. They're that dominant right now. So that's been really impressive. New York Excelsior still playing at a high level. Did they have a little bit of a scare? No, they essentially 4-0'd Philly and then they 3-0'd Shanghai. So again, nothing really too out of the blue here. LA Gladiators and Seoul Dynasty was probably one of the best matches. It did go all five games. A lot of back and forth, a lot of really good gameplay there. So that was probably like one of the best matches to watch last week. But other than that, everything pretty much played out the way a lot of people thought it would.
Okay, and on to this week for week two. What matches are you looking most forward to?
I completely forgot to preview this week's matchup. So we will do a little live interpretation here. Let's see here. Let's go through the list. So we do have the Battle of LA as the final game on Sunday the 14th between the Valiant and the Gladiators. That always turns out to be a really good matchup, regardless of how poor or good both teams are doing. So that will be a fun one to watch as well. Battle of the expansion teams, the Atlanta Reign and the Washington Justice. For me, I'm probably going to be watching that one quite a bit just because the Justice's earlier game against New York Excelsior on Thursday probably will not go the way I want it to go. And probably Atlanta will win also, unfortunately. If I have to pick one...
I'm going to pick the Spitfire and the Fusion.
Yeah, I was leaning towards that.
Yeah, Saturday, April 13th, that's always a great series. They was great in Season 1. It's going to be great in Season 2. The Spitfire and Fusion will be exciting. Other than that, I think my next big one... Yeah, I really don't know if there's another one. Boston and Hangzhou might be a good one. The Hangzhou Spark and Boston Uprising on Friday, April 12th.
Yeah, maybe. I just feel like you could look at these teams. You could even look at their records and easily point out which team is going to win. I don't feel like there's a lot of head scratchers going into this week. I feel like a lot of teams have already separated themselves, the upper echelon from the bottom. Not a lot of roster changes have been made so far. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see what happens going forward if these teams can learn. I'm really curious to see if Blizzard is going to be changing the meta. We have the new champion introduced, the new hero, Baptiste in Overwatch, see if that might put an end to the GOATs meta. Probably not. I'm really kind of curious to see if Blizzard's going to do anything about GOATs. A lot of fans complain about it. It is a very slow and non-entertaining meta right now for Overwatch League, and a lot of fans are just getting really tired of seeing the same comp. Even though, Joey, there was a record set last week in week one. I forgot to mention this. The Washington Justice and the Hunters set a record for the most heroes used in one game for at least 1 minute at 27. 27 heroes were used in one match for at least 1 minute or longer. That is the most diverse game of Overwatch we've seen in Overwatch League so far. So that was kind of cool.
We call that a clown fiesta, John.
I'm trying to be nice here, man. I'm trying to be nice. Reaper wasn't even used. You would think Reaper, a great tank buster that can also heal himself because, Blizzard loves Reaper for some reason. He wasn't even some of the heroes that weren't used just really made me scratch my head. But at the end of the day, it was just such a, you said it, it was a clown fiesta. Absolute clown fiesta.
I mean, I'd love to take the angle like, oh, they're just adapting so well to the opposing team. They just, as soon as they change their hero, they're changing theirs to counter it. But no,
I try.
That's just people finding, trying to find ways to get in and changing strategies within game. And it's just not quite working out for anyone.
You know what? I dare someone this week in week two, I want to see Attack Torbjorn used. Attack Torb on the pro scene. I want to see it used. Let's do it. I challenge every single one of you Overwatch pros to do it. You won't do it.
I mean, that happened in what? That was the World Cup, wasn't it? South Korea won with Attack Torb?
Yeah, it was great. It was absolutely phenomenal. It completely caught the other team off guard, and it worked. It blew my mind.
Yeah, it probably tilted everyone was the real problem.
Yeah.
Over to League of Legends. Before my voice gives out, let's go to the LEC, John. How did playoffs go this past week?
Okay, let's see here. So we had the quarterfinals. So no big surprise. We did predict it here. 3-1 victory for Fnatic over Splice. And G2 Esports with the easy clean sweep. 3-0 win over Origin. So G2 punches their tickets to the final. Origin will drop to the semifinals because, you know, hey, they get a second chance at life. Fnatic moves over to face Origin as well for the final spot in the finals for the spring LEC playoffs. So the matchup this weekend is going to be Origin versus Fnatic. Joey, can your boys beat Origin and punch their ticket to the LEC finals?
Honestly, I do not know if they can. I'm going to take Fnatic in this one.
Really?
But I think it will be close. I'm going to go 3-2, actually. I could see it going 3-1. I could see Origin easily taking the win as well. This is a hot topic for me, this LEC playoff format. Let me think of how I want to approach this. I hate this format. Let's just start with that.
Well, okay.
So I think it works really well in Dota 2 or CSGO with a large number of pool combatants or whatever. So when you have 10 or more teams, I think it works well. When you have only 6 teams coming into the playoffs, this is a mess. Because look, whoever's your 1 and 2 seed, they get an advantage, which makes sense, but they get a huge advantage here. One of them, the loser in that first match, gets an extra life in the tournament. Origin's been eliminated, yet they're still in the playoffs. Then on the other side, you have G2 who advances. So now looking from Origin or Fnatic's perspective, both of them have to prepare for 2 teams while G2 really has to prepare for 1. Yes, they don't know who's going to win out of this matchup, but they already did most of their preparations for Origin last week. So G2 is sitting pretty up there. They just need to prepare for Fnatic and then brush up on Origin. So for me, for another team to really come in here, it's such a disadvantage 3-6. And even if my team was the number 1 seed, it just does not seem fair to me. So I hope we see this format change or at least something shift with it, because with 6 teams, it just does not make enough sense for me. That's how I feel about this format right now.
For all the good that has happened, this split in the LEC, from the rebranding to the redesigning of the stream, just the overall amazingness that the LEC has become since last season, this playoff format is an absolute dumpster fire. I completely agree with you, Joey. Origin should be out. They should be done. They got 3-0'd to G2, and they get a second life. They hardly even showed up. You know, regardless of the fact, whoever it is, it's one and done. Okay, so I get it. Okay, you reward Origin because they finished higher in the standings during the regular season. Okay, cool. Fine, that's great. But this is the only team. Origin and G2 were the only 2 teams out of a total of six teams that get a second life, all because they finish high. Look, I understand. I get it. I feel like in a larger format, like you said, Joey, I feel like that's where it does make sense. But when it's 6 teams, it's terrible. It's bad. It just doesn't make any sense. Origin, I'm sorry. You shouldn't even be in here. We should be having a G2 Fnatic final. I think it's going to be a G2 Fnatic final anyway. I think Fnatic's been playing well. I don't have any reasons to believe they won't beat Origin. I don't think it's going to go 5 games. I think Fnatic can take care of them 3-1. Then again, you know, I'm a Cloud9 fan. So, but Cloud9 and Fnatic have a really awkward relationship. If you don't follow them on social media, you should, because sometimes I feel like by default I'm a Fnatic fan because Cloud9 and Fnatic are like into this really awkward online relationship. So Fnatic, like I'm going to pick Fnatic. I think it's going to be 3-1. I think it's going to be Fnatic G2. It should be Fnatic G2 already. Please, LEC, Riot, drop this crazy playoff format. It is absolute hot, hot trash, and not in the good way. Can hot trash be good anyway? It's not good. It's not. It's terrible. Origin, you shouldn't even be here right now.
Yeah, I mean, if they really want to do a winners-losers bracket, make it for everyone. Give a first-round bye to Origin and G2, have them play the worst seeds left, G2 with the worst and the second worst to Origin, but then give everyone else another chance. Switch everything to best of three for these series, move them on until they get to the semifinals, then make it best of five into the final. That's the only real way to do a winners-loser bracket, in my opinion, for this small of a format. With that being said, I'm going to take Fnatic as well. I'm leaning 3-2. I could see a 3-1 as well if they come out pretty clean. OG really should have taken that first game off G2, though, and they should have gone 3-1 in that series. At least they should have gone 3-1. I'm going to go Fnatic 3-2. I am. I mean, Deficio's over there, and that's why I give Origin more credit. Deficio being one of the big analysts from EU last year, coming over with the Origin organization. He helps a lot with the preparation as well. He knows Fnatic better than anyone over there. So I think if anyone's going to be able to help prepare, it's going to be Origin. With that being said, I still think Fnatic comes out on top, but I am going to go 3-2 over 3-1 for this one.
But where was he for the quarterfinal matchups against G2? G2 was sputtering at the end of the spring split, and they were 3-0'd. Like, yeah, I understand he's a tactical guru, but you were 3-0'd by a team that crawled into the playoffs, essentially. They were not playing their best league going into the playoffs. And
oh, I can tell you why they were 3-0'd. So there are two big reasons. One, Mickey returned. So remember, Mickey was not with G2 for the end of the split, which is a huge difference for that bot lane. The other big difference is Origin had game one in the bag. They had won game one, and they lost it. They inted so hard. And when you do that in the first game of a five-game series, that's the end. It is so hard to come back from that big of an int when the game was in your hands and you lost like that. I think they were so demotivated at that point that strategy only came into effect at so at such a small level. I am so dying right now. Hopefully Fnatic does better than my lungs right now. Whew. Ay, ay, ay. Okay, LCS. Let's head on over there because we do know who is going through over there as well.
Nothing happens.
Team Liquid. Team Liquid taking down FlyQuest 3-0. And then TSM with a reverse sweep over Cloud9 3-2. That sets us up for a TSM Team Liquid final.
I'm sorry, Joey. I only heard one matchup. I heard you say Team Liquid 3-0'd FlyQuest. I thought there wasn't there a second semifinal? Because I'm looking at the Riot website here. I'm not seeing I just see Team Liquid. I don't know this TSM Cloud9 reverse sweep you're talking about.
Well, I can screenshot it for you.
No, please don't. Please don't. TSM has been growing as a team the entire back end of the split. They're the only team to 2-0 Team Liquid. I feel like this is going to be an incredible finals between TSM and Team Liquid. TSM has a, I don't know, like you can never count them out. Ever. Like, they started this split, they looked absolutely terrible. You're like, okay, this is going to be another team. They're going to be struggling to put pieces together. And then all of a sudden, they hand Team Liquid, an undefeated Team Liquid, their first loss. Then Team Liquid keeps kicking butt throughout the entire split. No one's going to stop them again. And then TSM does it again. Again, the only team that 2-0s Team Liquid. I feel like this was the one matchup that Team Liquid really didn't want. I honestly think Team Liquid was hoping for this matchup to be anybody but TSM. I'm excited for this matchup. It's going to be absolutely outstanding. I'm going to put my Cloud9 fandom aside here real quick. TSM, Team Liquid, these are the two highest performing teams in North American League of Legends right now. This is the deserved matchup that we deserve in the LCS. I feel like this is going to go five games. This has the opportunity to go all five games. And TSM has a legitimate shot at upending Team Liquid in the spring split for the playoffs. It's insane, Joey. I'm curious, before I make my prediction, I want to know, what is your prediction for this final?
As a former TSM fan, I am hoping Team Liquid wins. I'm going to go 3-2 Team Liquid. I think overall, if Liquid can find a way into a lead like C9 had, they're not going to give it up like C9 did. I think the big thing to look for here is going to be the top lane matchup. Impact in general has been a rock, and he's had such an impact for Team Liquid throughout the playoffs. If he can stay up there up against Broken Blade and he can really force his weight upon him, I think we see Team Liquid win this one out. I do think it goes five games regardless, though.
I think it goes five games. I will be going with Team Liquid as well. I'm sorry. I cannot stand TSM. That's one part of me that I will never be able to leave. Just anything. Great organization. Don't get me wrong. Great players. I just hope Team Liquid takes it to them. I would love a 3-0 sweep for Team Liquid. I don't see that happening. I do see it going five games. I think Team Liquid takes it 3-2 and brings home the spring championship for themselves and continuing their North America domination. Let's just leave it there.
Are you the one with a sore throat over there?
No, I'm the one that's also watching a baseball game off to the side and being completely distracted right now, and it's driving me up a wall. Ugh.
Yeah, so overall exciting matchups. I think the one thing to laugh about at the end of the show here is the fact that the LEC started a week before, and yet they even skipped a week for playoffs, and they're going to end a week later. They had like 2 weeks built in, and they're still going to end that much later than NNA.
And it's all because of that stupid playoff format that they have. And it just... I Joey, do you remember a couple of years ago when the NALCS and the EULCS, you know, it was championship weekend, and we had the third place games on Saturday, and then we had the finals on Sunday, and it was as soon as the EU was done, we got to go straight into the NA, and it was a lot of fun, and, you know, we just got to vegetate the entire day on a couch watching Twitch on your TV, or if you're...
Vegetate, is that even a word?
Yes, vegetate, absolutely. You're sitting there on your couch,
really?
In your favorite eSport org jersey, or t-shirt, or hat, or flag, or whatever you want to have with you. And you have a bag of spicy nacho Doritos, a cool, crisp can of Mountain Dew. I'm hitting every stereotype in the book right now. If you're an Overwatch League fan, also, you have a nice big bag of Sour Patch Kids. And you are just chilling, watching Championship Sunday. You know, everyone gets hyped for Super Bowl Sunday. Everyone gets hyped for Game 7. Everyone gets hyped for the Capitals going back-to-back Stanley Cup wins here. But I'm sorry, I want my Championship Sunday for LCS back. I want my EU in the morning. I want my NA in the afternoon. I want to have a 5 o'clock shadow at 3 p.m. because I'm doing absolutely nothing but watching and stressing out over pro LCS, EU, and NA. Now they're LEC and LCS. And look, I just want my Championship Sunday back. Stop the stupid playoff format and the LEC. Let's bring it back to what everyone knows and loves. I want a day of League of Legends.
And we still get a day of League of Legends. It's going to be on Sunday, but the difference is whoever played in the LEC is going to be freaking exhausted from their five-game series on Saturday.
Yeah.
So whoever goes in is going to be so winded going into a G2 match that they have one day to prepare for. They split their preparation that week for. Such a mess. Come on, LEC. You've done everything right. You have great sponsorships from refrigerators to car oil machines. And you can't get this one right. Come on.
Just real quick. Viking Bear has an amazing chat that he just put out there. Next
Patreon
goal, Joey gets a dictionary. Absolutely kills me.
My sinuses are clogged, Viking. Chill out over there.
So dead after that one. That is priceless.
Oh my gosh.
Well, Nation, that will do it for another episode of the Level Up Podcast. But before you go, head on over to patreon.com/OTN and consider becoming a part of the Overtime Network. In return, you will get access to exclusive content that nobody else in the world can get unless they are a part of the Overtime Network. If you enjoy listening to the Level Up Podcast, let us know. Leave us a review on iTunes and Google Play, or even shoot us a comment on SoundCloud. We would love to hear from you. In fact, we love to hear from all of our listeners so much, we have other ways for you to contact us. Joey, where else can the Level Up Nation go to interact with us and this show?
Level Up Nation, head on over to Instagram, Twitter, and or Facebook and find us at the Level Up Podcast. That is the LVLUP Podcast. You can also find us streaming regularly on Twitch at twitch.tv/OTN_live.
All right, make sure you tune in next week as we cover the latest and greatest in gaming and esports news. Do your ears a favor. Hit that subscribe button to know when the next episode of Level Up Podcast is ready for your listening pleasures. We will catch you all next week. Remember, be nice to your fellow gamers online. And as always,
Level Up.